If you will take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We'll begin looking at Psalm 37 this afternoon, and good Lord willing, next week as well, we can conclude. Psalm 37. Let me begin by reading Psalm 37. This is of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they shall soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they will have abundance, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so you shall dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power, or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright, for there is a future for a man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Let us pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, we do ask your blessings, Father, upon your word this time, at this time. Lord, help me to speak in a way that is pleasing to you and upbuilding to your people. May the lost be called to repentance. May they see you, the true God. It is only through Jesus, the sinless Son of God, that we can know the blessing of the Lord truly. Only through Jesus can our sins be forgiven. It's only through Jesus that we can be made righteous. Oh Lord, we rejoice in this good news. Lord, we ask that you would open your word to us even now. It's through Jesus that I ask this. Amen. Amen. Psalm 37. So do not fret, focus on the Lord. Do not fret, focus on the Lord. To fret would be, commonly we think of it as to worry or be anxious or uneasy, distressed. And if we look to the original, we see a root of growing warm or blazing up. It has some idea to do with heat. This word fret, do not fret. So the opposite of fretting fretting and warm and stirred up and hot, the opposite of that would be cool and calm. Do not fret. Focus on the Lord. If we're going to try to group together these 40 verses, that's a lot of ground to cover in this time together. So we're going to have to, in some ways, summarize. And really, the psalmist is saying the same thing over and over again. And so I have attempted to group some of these things together. First, we need to focus on the fact that we must not fret over evildoers. We must not envy evildoers or even be stirred up to sinful anger because of evildoers. So do not fret over evildoers. And then the second focus that we're going to take is the psalmist speaks in regards to this temptation to fret and to be warmed up and to be overcome and agitated. He tells us what to do. So if we're not to fret and envy, what should we do? And there is a long list in this psalm. There's a long list. This is packed full of direction from the Lord. And as we today will, good Lord willing, I have time to focus on how the psalmist speaks about this not fretting and why would that even possibly be a temptation to what should we do? If that's not what we're supposed to do, what should we do? And the scripture tells us. And then finally, and it'll be next week, the psalmist gives us so many reasons not to fret over the evildoer. So many reasons. He gives us so many reasons to live a life focused upon the Lord. So that'll be next week. But this week, do not fret. Focus on the Lord. And he tells us how to focus on the Lord. So I hope that that will be some framework to guide our looking here at Psalm 37. David was not always around good men. You think with me of the life of David. We are thankful for the joy of human love, of brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth, friends above, for gentle thoughts and mild. And we would praise the Lord, Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. We are so grateful for the love one to another. But there were times when those that should have loved David did not love David. There were times when family members went against him. There were times when friends, a counselor, went against him. So David understands the evildoer. He's not always around good men, for he's seen the evildoer at work. He's seen the wrongdoer around him. And we must take care how a person is influenced by others. Do people influence you? I know they do, because the scripture says many times over and again that we are to flee from that one who is doing wickedly, and we are to go in a way that pleases the Lord. David knew the effect an evildoer or a wrongdoer could have on a person who was trying to live in a way that pleased God. I hope we will agree this afternoon. We're trying to live for the Lord. The Christian certainly is trying to please God above everything else. But we can be influenced. David could be influenced. There is temptation to fret over evildoers. The influence is spoken of here in this psalm as fretting. The evildoer can cause you to fret. Don't get hot about the evildoer. You should care, and you should hate evil. You should reject sin, but don't be overcome. Don't be overcome. Again, I said that the fretting would be uneasy, distressed, upset, even hot, to the point of anger. He'll tell us in verse 8, refrain from anger. So you see the progression there as you begin to get stirred. This can happen. Verse 1, I want to bring out the three verses, begin with the three verses that talk about not fretting. Verse 1, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. And so the evildoer, this person who does something that God calls evil, that is such a simple description of the evildoer. But many things can rise up in our minds of all evil and this and that. But the simple definition is the one who does something God calls evil. For we are to focus upon the Lord. And so our understanding, as we look out at the world and we see a person's life, if we're going to call them an evildoer, it's not because we don't like them personally. It's because they have done something that God says is evil. Also, the wrongdoer, those who have done something God calls wrong, those who work iniquity or unrighteousness or injustice. Simple definitions of who David is bringing these, those that will be using this psalm, bringing their attention to the evildoer and the wrongdoer. And he says, do not fret about that person and do not be envious of these people. And so envy is mentioned as something to guard against. Don't allow yourself to be pained by the prosperity of the wicked. Sometimes we can become distressed, or we can become overcome with, why are they able to go the way they're going, and it seems like they're even benefiting from going in the wrong direction. And yet I'm trying to live for the Lord, and at times I might have, as verse 16 says, little. Better is little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. So don't be overcome with envy. Do not think that you would be better off if you just had what the wicked has. As Spurgeon says, that if you look at the wicked and you want to be like them, here are his words. He says, half opened eyes. Your eyes are only half open. You're not looking clearly at a person if you want what to be like the wicked. Sometimes I think our eyes are only half open. We aren't seeing things clearly. So don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be stirred or worked up over these evildoers. Rather, we see in verse 7 this, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Again there, don't fret. The psalmist repeats this. But the truth is that the evil are not just getting rich. You might get the idea. You say, well, they're prospering. And we see that there in verse 7. prospers in his way. But then it says there at the end of verse 7, over the man who carries out evil devices. And so there is more than just a caution to when you see another that seems to be doing well materially, for they are not just getting rich. But look at verse 12. These wicked, they plot against the righteous and they gnash their teeth at him. We need to get into the setting of the psalm. Verse 14, the wicked draw the sword. They bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. It's more than just material prosperity. They're actually wanting to do harm to the righteous, to the one that is following the Lord. Verse 32, the wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. So the weight of what the environment that is produced by these evildoers of wrongdoers is more than that. Than they're just being blessed financially and they're prospering financially. There is actually threat toward the righteous. But we're still not to fret. Don't get worked up. Don't be distressed. Don't get stirred to envy or anger. So in verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. You know, if you get all worked up, if a person gets all worked up over the evildoer, then they could be led to sin. If you become too stirred, you might sin. You might get so angry about the evildoer that you are given over to evil. You might try to bring wrath upon this evildoer and do something evil yourself, a sinful thing, to punish the evildoer. Certainly, the evildoer must be punished. But sometimes we take this upon ourselves personally to do the punishment. Don't fret, don't go get so stirred about this evildoer, because it tends, there at the end of verse 8, it tends only to evil. It tends only to evil. And so Matthew Henry says that a fretful, discontented spirit is open to many temptations. If you are stirred to the point of sin, or if you're stirred, overly fretful, overly worrisome, I mean, it has a lot of senses, really, to the meaning of this word fret. You can be open to many temptations. We need righteous anger where we can be angry and do not sin. And we need righteous anger so that we do not let the sun go down on our anger. It should not last forever. The psalmist is not telling us to approve of sin or just let the sinner go freely on in their sin without becoming angry at all. He doesn't say that, but the psalmist says, don't go get so heated to the point that you begin to sin yourself. This is a caution. Don't fret over evildoers. Or don't envy those wrongdoers. Thankfully, the Word of God guides us away from fretting, and the Word of God puts us on a path that pleases the Lord. That's what the Word of God does. I mean, we've been cautioned on what to guard against, and I could get up and say, just don't fret, and that would be true of this psalm's exhortation and the truth contained in it, but then it leads us in the right path. Do you know which way to go? Have you ever been truly lost? Not spiritually, I'm talking about, have you ever been physically lost? It didn't know where you were. It can be a helpless feeling. There have been people that have spent days in the wilderness because they didn't know where to go. I've heard, know of one man in the dark. He walked around, he thought he was going in a straight line in the direction of safety. And he saw his footprints in the sand multiple times. He was walking in a circle, and he thought he was walking in a straight line. Scripture will not lead us in the wrong direction. For now we can know the path that pleases the Lord. The path that pleases the Lord is not a path of fretting over the evildoer, but a path that pleases the Lord is described in this way. Look at verse 3. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Trust in the Lord. This is something that we have heard so many times. Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. We say this, we're encouraged in this way, but what does it mean? Depend upon the Lord. Depend upon Him for everything. We can certainly, we should be responsible people. We should act in a way that pleases God, but there necessarily needs to be a dependence upon God. Trust in the Lord. He is the one who can ultimately protect us and support us. We're going to see all these reasons next week. I'm tempted to run ahead because it's so glorious. But listen to the simple truth. Don't fret, but rather trust in the Lord. Our direction, our focus is being brought off of the evildoer. Don't focus on the evildoer. Focus upon the Lord. Trust in Him. Depend upon Him. Spurgeon says, faith cures fretting. Faith cures fretting. I could say that trust leads to tranquility. That's the direction that we're going Godward. Trust in Him for everything. We do need to trust in Him for the matters of the soul and the matters of the body. We need to trust in God right now, in time. And we need to trust in Him for eternity. Because one day we will step into eternity. Trust in Him. If we're going to have peace and we're going to have quietness and we're going to be cooled down and not fretful, then we need to trust. We need to have faith in the promising God. Faith in the promising God. Oh, what promises that He has made. Do good, verse 3 says. So don't just trust in the Lord, but do good. Barnes points out that the best way to keep the mind from complaining and chafing and fretting, the best way to guard your mind from that, is to be engaged in doing good. Be busy about the Lord's work, he says. Have the mind always occupied with something valuable and useful. Wow. So most of you, I guess, are pretty busy. Maybe your actual requirements of life, your work requirements, requirements of the family would cause you to be so busy. Sometimes we just make ourselves busy. You know, we think we need to do this and we think we need to do that. But if we just slow down and stop and say, Lord, I want to do good in a way that I want to have a life of doing good, one that you would be approved of. Just stop and say, not my own agenda, not my own direction for this life, but God, what direction is a good direction in your eyes? So simple. Maybe I'm too simple when I look at the scriptures. But it's just like, stop. Quit acting like, you know, the world is, I don't know. We need to trust in the Lord and do good. The scripture lays out a simple life for His glory that has a proper focus. Always have your mind occupied on what God would consider valuable. We'll not have time to murmur and complain if that happens, according to Barnes. And also, we need to dwell in the land. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. So dwelling in the land, we heard something of this just in the reading of Jeremiah. They departed the land, didn't they? And there was judgment upon them. So Matthew Poole says in Hebrew, it is dwell in the land as if it were a command to abide in Canaan. When troubles come, do not flee to the Philistines or other heathens for shelter, as he had foolishly done. Speaking of David. But let us dwell in the land. Stay where God has put us and stay the course. Befriend faithfulness. If you have a different translation, it might say, "Verily thou shalt be fed." And they're getting at the same in Hebrew. Verily, this Barnes says that the marginal note is truth. The meaning is they should seek after truth or faithfulness, find their support and comfort in faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness, befriend truth, be fed on truth. Cultivate faithfulness, one translation puts it. One concordance says, cherish his faithfulness, pointing us to the Lord and the Lord's truth. That's what we should do. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, befriend faithfulness. And so our support will come from the Lord as we focus upon him and not upon the evildoer. Verse 4, delight yourself, and we're simply looking at what should we do instead of fretting. Instead of fretting, we should trust in the Lord, and instead of fretting, we should delight. The psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight. Where are you seeking happiness? The scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. Many, many times we are tempted to try to find delight in those things that the evildoer has the abundance of, seems to be prospering in this way. If I just had this or that, then I would be happy, delighted, I would be fulfilled. But the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. So don't set your mind on things of the flesh. Maybe your gaze is too low. The delight is not going to be found here ultimately, certainly not eternally, but delight yourself in the Lord. And so how might we do that? Well, every name of the Lord can be meditated upon. The scriptures are full of names of the Lord. His attributes. How can we be brought up and be made delighted in the Lord? It's by focusing upon him. His word tells us these things. Everything he's done that's contained in this book can be our delight. Again, we're going to see these details next week, but get your focus in the right direction. Focus on the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Gill says, the persons in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the perfections of God, his power, his goodness, his faithfulness, his wisdom, his love, his grace, his mercy. The list goes on. His works of creation, his providence and redemption, his word, his gospel, the truths and ordinances of it. Time in a place where you're worshiping the Lord. The people of God, as you delight in the Lord, you will also find delight in the people of God. His excellence in the earth, all these things that he has made, these things will delight us in the Lord. The psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Focus. Don't fret. Focus on the Lord. Look up. Maybe it's a simple way to state that. He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what the verse says. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Of course, this has to be qualified. The desires of the heart, not in the sense of fleshly desires, but these are the desires of the man who has a heart for God. The one that has a new heart. And what is this heart that God gives? He gives us a heart to know and to love and to serve him. God will give you the desires of your heart. Once you know him, then your desire will be to know him further. Once you have begun to taste and see and know that the Lord is good, that hunger will not be satisfied. But some say for all eternity, we will be continually being filled with the delight of God, glorying, amazed in his glory. We will be overwhelmed with the weight of who God is indeed. Delight yourself in him. He will give you the desires of your heart. These are straight from the scripture. Don't fret, but focus. And we can do that by trusting in the Lord and delighting in the Lord. In verse 5, we can do that by committing. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Commit. Give over your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. The psalmist did not want to go his own way. No, he wanted to go the Lord's way. This is a great encouragement from the Word of God toward the person who is tempted to fret. We can certainly make universal applications to this fretting. There is a universal application that I hope that you will probably, as you think about fretting, worrying, being anxious, being stirred up, heated, distressed, to the point that you might even sin about this situation, I hope that you will see the cure. The psalmist saw the cure, and it was a focus upon the Lord and committing your way to the Lord. The psalmist wanted to go the Lord's way. All of your life, the direction of your life, the way of your life, commit it to the Lord. Roll the burden of this life upon the Lord. Commit it to Him. All the cares are to be cast upon Him, for He cares for us. Commit your way. As I was thinking through this scripture, commit your way to the Lord. And you submit yourself to God. You say, I want to go your way. Here, have all my cares. And I thought of this. This song that we sing, maybe we've not sung it here so much, but it's one that comes up in my mind. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. You see, it's this committing, rolling everything upon the Lord. Give over your way to the Lord. That's a way that we will have a proper focus upon Him. And living a life that pleases Him, for the fretful life will just be burdened, encumbered, and our focus upon the Lord will be hindered. There will be great temptation in this fretting, but the focus on the Lord is what the Scripture tells us how we ought to respond. And so we can trust God to bring to pass His good purposes. As you desire to live for Him, there it says in verse 5, trust in Him and He will act. Next week, we will see what the psalmist says the Lord will do. So you can cheat and you can look ahead, for it's all throughout the psalm. But I hope that our appetite for the Lord and delighting and trusting in Him, and then our desire to commit, roll everything, trust in Him completely or more and more to a greater degree. I hope we're given over to that as we look and consider what the Scripture says. But then, don't forget, there are many reasons. We know what the Lord's going to do because Scripture tells us what the Lord's going to do. In verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Be still. Rest. The psalmist says to be still in the Lord, even if the wicked person is prospering. The psalmist says to wait patiently for the Lord instead of fretting. Aren't these complete opposites? Don't you hear that? Complete opposite. We have fretting on one side, this anxiousness, this getting stirred up, heated up. And then on the other side, we see that there is a being still and a patiently waiting upon the Lord. You see, there are complete opposites. The Lord, through His Word, directs us away from fretting towards a stillness, a calmness, a quietness, a trusting life that rests in Him. A person can be still because they are before the Lord. You see, I really can't help you in a lot of ways. I can try to help you if you have grief or distress. You can try to help me, and we should. But when we're before the Lord, you see, can't He do something about the situation? Can't He direct us and take us up and use us to glorify His great name, the chief end of man? I hope this is your delight, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And so we're not going to be glorifying Him and enjoying Him forever if we're fretting. The psalmist says, don't do it. He couldn't be given over to this. Rather, he had to be still before the Lord and just wait patiently for Him. We must all admit that our ability to be still or to wait patiently depends upon whose presence we are in. The ability to be still and to wait patiently depends upon whose presence we are in. What about our family? We're in the presence of our family. Unfortunately, many times our patience with our family is short. If we are waiting, though, for a phone call, on a phone call, or we have are in a line somewhere for some mandatory business, we can wait a long time. I mean, how long have you held on the phone? Someone, if we polled the audience, can give us a record of over an hour, I'm sure, that you've held on the phone, waiting to take care of some, what you call it, important business. How much more, before the God of all, should we wait patiently? Oh, we get so stirred up, so heated over things. How much more shall we be still before the Lord, be patient as we wait? And the direction to go is not in the direction of sinful anger. Verse 8, refrain from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. And so as a person waits for the Lord, don't be given over to this sinful anger or wrath. A person can quickly become so furious that they sin. You can even begin by being angry about evil things. But then you give this over, you can give it over to a sinful anger. And I hadn't thought about this, but Benson probes even deeper than that. A commentator says, if any such anger or grief do secretly arise in thy mind, take care that it do not cause thee to reproach or distrust God's providence. You see, if you or I are become so angry that we begin to distrust God's providence or we dislike God's ways, woe unto us. He is in control of all things. Again, the psalmist declares it over and over and over again. We will see that next week. But don't be wrongly focused or single-mindedly focused upon being angry at the evildoer in their wrongdoing and their iniquity and their injustice. But also be careful, because sometimes really the anger might be directed towards God. I don't like what you're doing, what you're allowing to happen, the way you're working these things out. Woe unto us. May we always be still before Him. Rest in Him. Be patient. He will act. We are looking at the proper responses to the evildoer. Next week, we will look at the reasons for not to fret. But we see in verse 27 this. We see in verse 27 that we're to turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever. Depart from this evil. When you see the evildoer, don't join in. Sometimes we can be influenced in that way. Well, if he's prospering over that evil action, maybe I might prosper as well. I'll just do it a little. I need a little prosperity. This is only temporary prosperity that the evildoer has. We saw in verse 3 the instruction to do good, have a life filled with a focus upon the Lord and living in such a way that pleases Him. Live in a way that God calls good, because we are to live for God. Before our feet hit the floor in the morning, I challenge you to say, Lord, this day I want to live for you by your grace. Give me such a desire and then enable me, bless me so that I can live for you today. We are not to live for ourselves. Verse 34, wait for the Lord. We've seen this, but here it is again. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. Wait for the Lord. If the child of God should not fret over evildoers, then what should the believer do when they see the wicked prosper or evil desires are being fulfilled and they even desire to harm the righteous, as we've seen? What should we do in this situation? The psalmist says, focus upon the Lord. How does he say that we are to focus upon the Lord? He says, by trusting in the Lord, depending upon him wholly, delighting in the Lord. This week we could have a focus upon, I want to live for you, Lord, and I want to delight in you. I want to find happiness in who you are, what you've done, what you've said. Delight in the Lord. What is our proper response to the evildoer? It is to commit our way to the Lord. It is to be still before the Lord. It is to refrain from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself. So a simple beginning to the psalm, I hope that will begin to set the stage. What is the psalmist, what situation is he in, and then what is the proper response to his situation? He's in a situation that would be very tempting to fret. But he says, do not fret. Do not get stirred up. Do not be hot over this, but rather focus upon the Lord. Do not fret, but focus upon the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I ask that we might focus upon you. And we know that, again, that's only through your Son that we look unto you by the eyes of faith. Even your word is not alive to us if we are not alive by the Holy Spirit. If we've not been made alive with Christ. And so first and foremost, if we find ourselves in this state of fretting, this worry, this anxiety, this being overcome by those about us, evildoers, wrongdoers, Lord, may we look to you. Look unto you for salvation. May we depend upon you and trust in you. May we look to you for provision, for you take care of your children, your scripture says. Thank you that you've not left us without a word, without the direction to go. May we heed your word this day. And this week, may we delight in you. What a promise. You will give us the desires of our hearts. Oh God, we want a heart for you. So may you bless us through your word even now. The other word that's been ministered this day. And Lord, the times that we commune with you, through private Bible reading, please continue to bless us, we pray. It's only through Jesus that is possible, and so it's through Jesus that I pray. Amen.